Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, that's much better. Good to hear your voices and see your smiles on this first Sunday of the new year. This morning, I want to talk about something that I believe is going to touch every part of our lives, every one of our lives. And I've been entitled my message this morning, Swamped by a Storm. It was on a Thursday, January 14th, 1999, that Joyce and I were on our way to her mother's memorial service. It was approximately 8 o'clock in the morning. As we were traveling on the freeway, we had to make a bend in the freeway, and much to our horror, a car had spun out, pulled into the carpool lane, facing the wrong way, facing us. We had nowhere to go. I'm going the correct speed, 65 miles an hour. I have the wall next to me in the carpool lane and a full line of traffic on the right, so I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't even have time to put on the brakes or even say a prayer. But floating through my mind, just faster than that, was the thought, we are going to die. Now, thankfully, my sweetheart doesn't remember any of this, but I do. I remember looking at that car in front of us, and all of a sudden, we hit. The explosion of glass, metal bending. I woke up after a while, only to find Joyce on the floor. I had the airbag. Our car only had the driver's side airbag. The impact was so great that I broke free from my seatbelt and went over the airbag into the windshield. Joyce did not have the airbag, and because we hit with such force, her seatbelt broke loose and she hit the dashboard and front window at 65 miles an hour. As I looked down, all I saw was blood everywhere. I couldn't believe it. And there on the floor, was my Joyce. I thought she was dead. People came to help us. The freeway was shut down, both sides. They airlifted her to a hospital 20 minutes away that was able to deal with trauma. As I look back upon that moment, I realized that God was with us in the midst of a storm. As they let me into her intensive care room, it was aware that 100% of her body was totally, badly, badly bruised. Her lips had been moved off of her face. Her teeth were wired together. Bones in her face were broken. Her right hand was broken. Her thumb was amputated. Bones in her right leg were broken. And because the head trauma was so severe, the doctor told me, we think she's probably going to be mentally simple, so be prepared for what you might find after she wakes up. Well, being swamped by a storm, this accident left me with deep, deep impressions about life. It shaped my life anew. It taught me never to take lightly each new day that God graciously gives us. It also taught me never to think that no matter how dark or painful life becomes, the Lord cannot intervene and minister to us in our time of pain and need. This morning, as we prepare to begin a new year with all of its twists and turns, and many of those twists and turns will be unforeseen by you and me, it's my earnest desire that as we spend this time together, that we will realize that we worship an almighty Savior, a Savior who loves us with an everlasting love, a Savior who is prepared and able to minister to our most pressing heartaches and needs, a Savior who calls us to humble ourselves before Him and let Him have His will and our way in our lives, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. And let's face it, there are times like that when life just doesn't make sense. And to help us understand this, I want us to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture, which talks about a life and death situation that you and I can understand. Would you please take your Bibles, and if you don't have one, there's one in front of you, and turn to Luke 8, 22 through 25. Luke 8, 22 through 25. Follow along with me, please, as I read it for us. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. Notice, please, the storm subsided and all was what? Calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." This morning, I have a message outline, and I would ask you to take that out of your worship folder, please. I want us to read together the introduction that I have listed here. Swamped by a storm. We are heading into a new year, and there may be some life situations which will be very hard for us to understand, and even harder to deal with. Let's face it, we don't like difficulty. We would prefer that everything be calm and peaceful, but this is not the norm. This morning, as we prepare to face a brand new year, we are going to consider a passage of Scripture which shows people like us facing a life and death situation. Now, what were these people to do? And who would help them? We've already read Luke 8, 22 through 25. It's my privilege of being one of your pastors. It's also my privilege to deal with crisis care here at TFB. And I have dealt with many, many heartbreaking situations. And this morning, unbeknownst to me, I heard of another one that is very serious. Two families here have been swamped by a storm recently. We all face these things. But in the midst of the storm, dear people, I want us to realize the very first point on that message outline. The Lord knows best how to direct our lives. Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, we see that the Lord Jesus and these men are out on a journey. And we're also on a journey through life. And as we look at our lives, we probably have said to ourselves, "I know where I'm headed, and I have a good idea what's going to take place, what the outcome will be." But let's be honest. You and I are not in control of our lives. Only Jesus Christ is. The disciples, which our Lord had drawn to himself, had been taught by him for some time now. They had seen him perform many powerful miracles. They'd even seen him raise people from the dead. And yet, there was a lot they needed to learn. They needed to learn more about who he was, why he had come. They needed to learn about themselves, and the reason they needed to learn about themselves from him is because he had a tremendous ministry responsibility which he is entrusting to them. The Lord doesn't have plan A and plan B. He only has plan A. It was determined in eternity past that after Jesus rose again from the grave and returned to his Father in heaven, that his ministry would go through his disciples. If it failed there, then who would hear of him? So these men had a great deal to learn as they're out there on the lake. See, they didn't realize that, but the Lord Jesus did. You and I see life only through a small lens. But may we realize that the Lord Jesus sees life through a telescope, as it were. He sees all the way down through our lives. He knows all that's going to take place. The Lord knew that these men loved him, but he also knew that they were not ready to accept the responsibility after his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and his return to heaven. And so they needed more personal training. They needed to meet up with the tests of life. And as they went out on that lake that day, also known as the Sea of Galilee, they were going to encounter a test that they were not ready to deal with. They would understand that even though they were professional fishermen, they did not have what it took to take care of themselves. They also would learn that the Lord Jesus isn't just looking for followers. He's looking for disciples. A disciple is a learner. And when you look at the Word of God, the Lord Jesus says he's looking for disciples who will 100% give their lives to him. And in essence say, Lord Jesus, you're first in my life. You lead. I'll follow. These men would begin to understand more deeply what that meant as they're out on the lake. You see, the world has so many people that do not know him. You realize we're over 7 billion people today? And so, if the world was to hear of the Lord Jesus, it would be through these disciples and others like them, through their life example and their verbal public testimony of Jesus. So this then, on the lake, was a training day for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we study God's Word this morning, we will once again realize that the spiritual test he allows and brings our way, though often difficult, are necessary. JJ, do you have the 4 pictures?
I do not.
You do not?
No.
I had 4 pictures that showed the Lord with the disciples in the boat, the raging sea, the Lord calming them. Put that in your mind. I'll do one better. First, the Lord is teaching his disciples. I'm sorry they're not on the screen. The Lord is teaching his disciples. And then, as he's out with his disciples, the storm comes upon them. The boats that the Lord traveled in back in those days didn't have high sides. They were very low-sided. And so when water is all over the place, it's sloshing into the boat. And it's very easy for the boat to capsize and the people to drown. So these men were afraid of that. Now, as they're out on the lake, in verse 22, we see that the Lord gave them fresh instructions. He said, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Let's go over. In other words, he's saying to them, let us, him included, go over to the other side of the lake. This seems simple enough to these men. Some of them were professional fishermen. They'd crossed this lake many times. They'd seen many storms. But they had never faced a storm that was coming to them this day. You know, I'm so thankful that these men were much like us. For what the Lord is about to teach them is what he wants to teach us. Discipleship. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, young or old, a new believer or a veteran disciple. All of us need continual training from the Lord Jesus about what it means to be a disciple belonging to him. But before this training would take place, as we saw in that first picture, the Lord Jesus was alone with his disciples. He was teaching them. They would have the opportunity to understand who he was and what he was doing. It's been my privilege through many years of ministry to talk to believers from many parts of the world. And oftentimes, as we encounter trouble, we seem to try to find the answer ourselves, and then in our desperation, we turn to the Lord. But that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to begin with him. But if we're to begin with him, we need to learn from him. We need to learn that He loves us with that everlasting love, that He has the guidance for us that we desperately need. But for us to learn these lessons, we must spend time alone with Jesus. And here's where much of our discipleship with Jesus breaks down. We don't spend time alone with Jesus. The Lord wants us to every day. We know that personal relationships are strengthened as we spend time with one another. And it's no different if our relationship with Jesus is to grow stronger, if our faith in Him is to be what He wants it to be. We must spend time alone with Him. In Mark 6:31, Jesus said this to His disciples, "Come away by yourselves," meaning with Him, "to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure to eat." Let's face it, we live in a fast-paced world, and we say we don't have time to do this and to that. But if we really mean business with Jesus, and discipleship is at the core of our walk with Him, we will spend time alone with Him. What happens when we do this? Well, we're refreshed. He calms us down. He strengthens us so that we can handle what life throws at us. You probably do not know the name Vance Havner. He was a man that had been captured by alcohol, and then he received Jesus Christ. But he couldn't get rid of the alcohol. And one day his pastor went to him in a bar and he said, "Vance, what are you doing here?" He says, "Pastor, leave me alone. I have a saved soul now. I ask Jesus into my life." And his pastor said, "Yes, Vance, you do have a saved soul. But my friend, you have a wasted life." And he turned around and walked away. He could not get rid of that statement. A saved soul and a wasted life. Lance Havner, from that moment on, decided that he was going to belong 100% to Jesus Christ. And over the years, he went around the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord led him to the late Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Ministries. Vance Havner was Pastor Chuck's mentor. And he said this about Mark 6:31, about coming apart with Jesus. If we don't take time to come apart with Jesus, we just plain come apart. How true. How absolutely true. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, some people say, well, why did Jesus cross the lake? What was so important that He had to go to the far side of the lake? Well, there were reasons. People needed to hear the Father's words through Him. They needed to experience His powerful love touching their lives. They needed His healing upon their broken and bruised bodies. People with demon possession needed to be set free. And when you read on into Luke chapter 8, you see that there's a man by the name of Legion. He has a host of demons. His life was ruined. His family's life was ruined. But when he came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, he was set free. And his first testimony was to his family. Can you imagine the impact the testimony of this dear man had upon his family and upon the Lord's disciples? The same is true today. So many people have no clue who Jesus is. You realize that America, though founded on spiritual principles, have moved far, far away from the Lord. We need desperately a spiritual revival. God's church needs to come back to Him. The only way many people hear of Jesus' righteous name is when others curse. How sad. They need Jesus. These disciples needed to understand that others needed Jesus. I need to understand that others need Jesus. We have many people with cancer. We have many people from our church family who now have cancer. Many have gone home to be with the Lord because of cancer. If you and I had the cure for cancer, we would make it known. because we want lives saved. We have an answer to a disease that is worse than cancer. That disease is sin. And you and I have the privilege as the disciples of the Lord Jesus to tell others of who can cure them. Well, as the disciples are out on the lake, as we read, a violent storm sweeps down upon them. You may not realize it, but the Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level. It's surrounded by high hills, and off to the side is Mount Hermon, which is 9,200 feet tall. As the cold, icy air winds down through the canyons and breaks down upon the warm waters on the top of the lake, it erupts. Violent storms take place. The winds howl. The waves are turbulent. And people are swamped. This certainly was a storm that these men had not counted on. It was unexpected. It was violent. They were unprepared to handle it. And they were gripped with something that you and I probably know about. They're gripped with fear. Fear. As I prepare my messages each week, as I preach in the evening service, the Lord has made me aware that I have no idea what is going on in the hearts and lives of people who are out in front of me. I don't know what most of you are going through. I know that some of you are going through your own storm right now. As I mentioned, I've heard of two even today. And I want you to know that there is someone to help you. But some of you would say, I can really identify with these disciples. I'm swamped right now, and in essence, I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to drown. Help me, please, help me. So you can identify with what is taking place here. As we saw that they were filled with fear, it's interesting. Who was with them in the boat? Who was with them guiding them across the sea? Why were they afraid? Who was with them? Jesus. I want to ask you a question. If Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, can they drown? What would you say? Got to be louder than that.
No.
Can Jesus drown? No. Absolutely not. And so when we are swamped by a storm and our life seems to be sinking, please know this. This is important. With Jesus in your boat, in your life, you cannot drown. You say, why? Why cannot the child of God drown? There's a very real reason. Many scriptures. But when a person asks Jesus Christ to come into their heart and life, the Bible says that they become the very child of God. In John 1, 12 and 13, we're told, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And here's why the child of God can never be swamped by a storm to the point of drowning. The Lord Jesus never deserts his children. Now, it could be this morning that some of you feel like the Lord Jesus has deserted you. But my friend, I want you to know that does not happen. That never will happen. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, God's word tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Helper, do not fear. As I was in intensive care with Joyce by her side, they couldn't have her completely knocked out because they needed to check things with her brain. So as her body is writhing in pain, and I'm there by her side those first 3 days, questions are rolling through my mind. Will her broken body heal? Will her brain be normal again? How on earth can I take care of her? Her injuries are so enormous. Lord, how can I take care of her? Will the insurance pay for what we're going to need? To be honest with you, I was overwhelmed with fear. Well, I'm a child of God, known the Lord for many years. In the midst of my storm, I was overwhelmed with fear. And then I began to realize why fear had gripped me. My focus was on myself. It was focused on what I would have to do. And my insufficiency swept over me. Raj, you are incapable of dealing with this situation. I knew it. But I was sinking. But the Lord was gracious. For over the next few weeks, as Joyce began to improve, the Lord brought back to my mind verses like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Other scriptures flooded my mind. It was at this time that the Lord said to me in so many words, you're looking at your insufficiency. Don't do that. Concentrate on my sufficiency. My sufficiency. And as I let go of that horrible problem and gave it to the Lord, I began to realize that Joyce and I would not drown. It also was at this time that the Lord Jesus let me know that there were areas of my life that I'd taken out of his hands and was putting my hands on. And he says, Raj, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to re-give those things to me. You can't be pulling one way and me pulling you another. You've got to be directed totally to me, Raj. I want you to be totally mine. It was a time of surrender, time of confession, a time of yielding. And how thankful I was for a Lord like our Savior Jesus, who's abundant in mercy to someone like me. Now, some of you might be thinking, that's a wonderful story, but it's not mine. Right now, I'm feeling like those disciples. I'm crying out to the Lord for help, and it seems as if he's just not listening to me. Perhaps he's asleep to what I'm going through. Would you look at the second point on your message outline, please? During our times of trial, we may think the Lord isn't concerned for us, but he is. Look once again at verse 24. The disciples went and woke him. Notice how urgent it is, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. As we read of this life-threatening situation, we need to remember that our Lord knew that the storm was going to hit before he had the men and he go out on the lake. It didn't surprise him. But not only did he know about the storm, he knew about the answer that they needed. And dear people, the answer that they needed was him. Some have asked, well, if Jesus knew that this storm was coming out on the lake and they were going to be in the boat, why was he sleeping? This is an urgent moment. Why did he take time to sleep? If he'd been awake, they wouldn't have had all of this trouble. No, they wouldn't have had all of that trouble, but neither would have they realized that they were insufficient in themselves to deal with the storms that would come their way. Storms as a child of God, as they share Christ with the world, and the world pushes back, and they have fear. How would they do it? They wouldn't have learned that Jesus was sufficient. And so, the last statement, if the Lord would have known, if the Lord had been awake, they wouldn't have had this problem. To a lot of people, that sounds reasonable. But may I share with you, that's not biblical. There are many scriptures that tell us that God's children will have difficulty in this life. The glory of it is that in the midst of the difficulty, we are not left alone. I've chosen a passage from the Psalm, Psalm 124, verses 1 through 5. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. You talk about being swamped by a storm. But you see, as you read on, the psalmist tells us that God was with his children. He was on their side. He did deliver his people. And just like God delivered his people in the Old Testament, Jesus was delivering his disciples in the New Testament. And praise his name, he delivers you and me when we are swamped by our storms. Now, regarding Jesus being asleep during the storm, this can clearly be understood. Our Lord, like no one else, endured pain, sorrow, rejection. Why? The Lord Jesus left heaven and came to earth and took on flesh that he might identify with us in our time of need, spiritually and physically. And he certainly made this abundantly known when he died on the cross for our sins. You talk about rejection, you talk about sorrow, you talk about pain. Why did he endure that? He endured that because he wanted us to belong to him. A glorious Savior, a real Savior for real sinners. Isaiah the prophet says this in Isaiah 53. He, meaning the Messiah to come, Jesus, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. You see, he alone knows how to minister to you and me in our time of need. And as he is in the boat, he's ministered to many, he's healed many, he's tired, he's worn, he sleeps. But something special. He realizes the storm is coming, but he can sleep because he knows that his Father in heaven is going to watch out for him. What the disciples needed to realize was that in the midst of the storm, Jesus was watching out for them. And we need to realize, I need to realize, that Jesus is watching out for us. Now the storm came upon them suddenly, but the answer came suddenly. Look at verse 24 again. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was what? Calm. Do we see it? Jesus has all power. He has power over all things, all people, even the elements of nature. Strong winds just don't normally die down. They die down gradually, but not at this time. As he rebuked the wind, it was calm. The waters immediately stopped churning. The boat stopped filling with water. We ask, how does this happen? It happens because our Bibles tell us that our Jesus is God. The Bible says he's the God-man. He's fully, holy God, but he's holy man taken upon flesh. And as he spoke the world into existence, Genesis 1, he also could speak in Luke 8 and tell the storm, be quiet. Be quiet. Shh. And because the elements knew who it was that was speaking, it became absolutely quiet. You know, it's an awesome thing when you and I, in the midst of our storm, allow ourselves to get quiet before the Lord and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. And in essence, he says to us, I know what you're going through. I understand. Just trust me. Wow. What a wonderful Lord. Isaiah 59:1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. The Lord was fully aware of their problem that day. He's fully aware of your problem and mine today. Well, look at your message outline, please. The third point. During our times of hardship and testing, there are spiritual lessons for us to learn. Spiritual lessons for us to learn. Look at verse 25, please. Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him." It's amazing. They had fear when they saw the water and the waves and the boat ready to capsize. But the fear that they have now here is this fear. It says, they feared a great fear. What is this? Who is this? He commands the winds to stop, the water to be calm. Who is it? They've been with him a long time. They loved him. They believed he was their Messiah. But it hadn't sunk through to them that the Lord Jesus Christ was all that he claimed to be. And that in the midst of their difficult times, their storms, he was there for them. He'd proven himself. He proved himself by his teaching, by his miracles, by his faithfulness to the Father and to them. But they had not grasped the ramifications of Jesus' identity. There was a problem. Their faith was weak. As you look in the Gospels, at least six times the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Where is your faith? Where is it, men?" I don't know how many times through my many years of knowing the Lord Jesus, in essence, he said the same thing to me. "Raj, where is your faith? Why are you fearing? Don't you realize who I am? What I've done for you? What I can do for you?" So first of all, they needed their faith strengthened. Secondly, they needed to learn that their master was absolutely trustworthy. And if he was absolutely trustworthy, then in their time of need, he could be completely depended upon. Now, you and I have had people that we love dearly, and we have had things worked out between us, and we felt that we could depend upon them. But we couldn't. That'll never happen with Jesus. I don't care how big the storm is, how dark the sky is, how alone you feel, if nobody else is with you, the Lord Jesus is always faithful to his children. And many of you can testify to that. The Lord always fulfills what he states or promises. So I have a couple questions for us. Are we exercising faith in Jesus today when swamped by storms? Or are we trying to handle them ourselves? Secondly, are we learning that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he said he is? He is absolutely faithful. Absolutely faithful. I have written down here, Jesus will never fail us. No matter how terrible our storms might be, but he does call upon us to place our faith in him. Our faith needs to be directed to him, to realizing that our lives are in his hands, under his control. Now, the end result of the storm that we face may not turn out the way that we want. We understand that. The Lord graciously, through the doctors, put Joyce back together again. They gave her new lips that I could kiss. Hallelujah. They found her thumb and reattached it. We still bear the scars of the accident through lots of pain and not being able to move like we used to. But as we get up every day and look at one another, we see this. God is faithful. Would you say that with me? God is faithful. Let's say it again. God is faithful. He is. It has well been said that faith is not believing in spite of circumstances. It is obeying in spite of feelings and consequences. Wow. Faith is obeying in spite of feeling and consequences. The disciples looked around and saw danger. They looked within and saw fear. But they failed to look up with faith and see God. Dear people, let's not let fear dominate our lives, our circumstances. Rather, let's let faith in the Lord Jesus Christ be that which guides us through the storms. As I look out here this morning, I see several people that I've gone through the storms of life with. I've seen what God has done for them, how faithful He has been with them. They've gone through the storm. It did not turn out the way they had prayed. But in the midst of the storm, they realized this. They were never alone. Never alone. Let me leave us with two verses. John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." And John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you that in the midst of our storms, you are with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is there with us to help us at every point, every turn. Lord, I pray for anyone here today who's going through a life storm, that they would not try to handle it themselves, but that they would give it over to you. This I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.